with your open eyes that we see, you open our ears that we hear, and you give us a heart to understand what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. We're going to continue on the covenant tonight. We was talking about the old and the new covenant last time we met, so we're going to continue along that line, coming from the Apostle Paul ministering about the covenant and why we do what we do in terms of punishment. You have two choices. We can operate in the rules by the rules, which is the old covenant, or you can be free, the new covenant, where there is no punishment. Paul had to rebuke the Apostle Peter for trying to get the Gentiles to be believers to obey the rules. Over in Galatians chapter 2, we'll turn over there and look at that scripture. If one apostle, if something is going wrong in the body of Christ and the Spirit of God reveals to him that it's wrong, then the other apostle have a right to set doctrine and correct that which was wrong in the first place. So the Apostle Paul rebuked Peter here in Galatians chapter 2. I'm going to start reading here at verse 11. It says here in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "But when Peter was come to Antioch," the Apostle Paul said, "I withstood him to the face because he was to blame." That was another apostle. The Apostle Peter was to blame. "For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision." At that time, the law stated that the Gentiles could not associate, the Jews could not associate with the Gentiles. And so what the Apostle Peter began to do, he began to separate himself and go back to what the law was stating rather than being free in Christ Jesus. He goes on to say, "But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing which were of the circumcision." So he was concerned about what the Jews was going to say about him associating with the Gentiles. "And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also, he went on those crusades with the Apostle Paul, but when he got with Peter, he began to do the exact same thing. It said that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. "But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?" So what he was saying is, why, since you've now become free in Christ Jesus and living after Christ Jesus, why would you want them to go back and live like we did from the beginning, or as the Jews was from the beginning? Now that the Jews have accepted Christ Jesus and they are starting to walk not according to the law, but according to liberty in Christ Jesus, then why would we compel them to go back and do the same things? "We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." So again, the Apostle Paul is explaining to us is that we should not go back and try to operate under the law since we've now become free in Christ Jesus. Apostle Paul made the statement. He said Paul had to rebuke Peter for trying to get the Gentiles of believers to obey the rules. He said, "For if I build again those things," in verse 14, he said, "If I again build those again, which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." So he's becoming a transgressor rather than following what Jesus Christ and that which he said in Christ Jesus. He goes on to say in verse 18, that's what he says. He said, "If I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God." Then he makes that awesome statement. What he says, he says, "I'm crucified with Christ Jesus. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And this life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." He also says, I don't frustrate the grace of God. For righteousness come by the law, then Christ Jesus is dead in vain. So he was explaining to the Galatian and also to the body of Christ that, again, if I try to do it by performances, by doing it by the law, by following commandments of the old covenant, then what I do, I frustrate the grace of God. The grace of God in Ephesians 2:8 explains to us that it says that we are saved by grace through faith, and it's not of ourselves, but it is a gift of God. So we begin to receive what Christ Jesus did for us on the cross rather than trying to get out, become justified by the working of the law, following the laws or the commandments. And so that's, the Apostle Paul tells the Roman in Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, he tells us there's no condemnation to us who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. So he called the law, the old covenant, he called it the law of sin and death, because what the law did is it brings you into remembrance of sin. It brings sin to your every time you think about committing sin or think about sin, it comes up in your mind, and that which you focus on expands. So it keeps expanding in their lives, this law. So therefore, when they became free in Christ Jesus, then that part of it was eliminated. When we define ourselves as sinners, that means by living by the rules, then by definition, we deserve to be judged and punished. So if we're living by the rules rather than the law of liberty in of Christ Jesus, then we deserve to be judged and punished. If we choose this old covenant, knowing that Christ has already dealt with the sin issue, which opened up the way for us to relate to the Father as sons and daughters. And so we are no longer under the law. We are operating in the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. He goes on to say, then we are actually saying that Christ's death was pointless and are cutting ourselves off from the only thing that can save us. The only thing that can save us. We can't do it by the law, but we can save us by grace. So the only thing that we are saved by is grace. And that, again, you can go back and look in Ephesians 2:8, and it says that we are saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves, but it is a gift of God. If we look at how most churches today, environments, respond when someone breaks the rules, they're major ministries where the pastor has did something against the church. What we do, all the responses are to shepherd the person back into a right relationship with the rules rather than doing like Jesus did when he saw that lady who was actually caught in sin. We started off by stating and showing what Jesus did in that situation when he brought the lady who was caught in the act of adultery. And he showed us exactly what he would do in that situation. We always ask the question, what would Jesus do in that situation? So he showed when he asked, he said, "He that has cast, committed no sin, let him cast the first stone." And then all the elders from the elders on got up and they walked away. He continued to write on the ground. And when he looked up, there was no one sitting there who was his accusers. And so what he did, he said, "I do not accuse thee either. He said, I don't condemn ye, but he told her, go and sin no more. So what we do is we try to shepherd a person back into right relationship with rules rather than doing what Galatians 6 tell us to do. Go over into Galatians 6 and see what Galatians 6 tells us to do. Galatians 6 and 1, and this is the word of God. This is the way God wants us to handle those situations. He says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Then he said, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And that's how we help him. We don't keep kicking him to the curb. We don't trotting him down under our feet, but we try to help him restore himself and show him the error of his ways. We who are spiritual, say we who are spiritual and we who are in the kingdom, each one of us is spiritual. But as the body of Christ, we don't do that. We they come back to us. They want help. Many of them want help, but we find that because they have committed a sin, then they have become outcasts in the body of Christ. I always use the analogy of a hospital. When a person in the natural is sick and they go to the hospital is a place where you go to get healed. The body of Christ, the church, sanctuary is a place where a person in the spiritual realm needs to come back to get healed. And so if they come here and then we turn them away, and tell them they can't come, I'll treat them like outcasts, then they have no place else to go. So what's going to happen? They're going to go back to the world, and then they're going to be treated like criminals. The problem is, let me see, all the responses to shepherd the person back into a right relationship with the rules. Punishment is the tool that we use to restore a person to right relationship with the culture of rules. And so when we start teaching this class, it's a culture of honor that we are developing in the body of Christ. And a culture of honor means that we are accurately acknowledging a person for who they are, and we're restoring them to their right position. We're showing them, helping them to recover from the snare of the enemy. The punishment is the tool to restore a person to a right relationship with the culture rules. The problem is that in Christ, we have not, in fact, been given a relationship with the rules, but a relationship with the Spirit. And I remember what Apostle Paul asked the Galatians church when he asked them who had bewitched them over in chapter 3. He asked them, did they receive the Spirit by the works of the law in Galatians 3 and 2? He said, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And if they try to go back and do those things, those rules which they had learned as Jews, they received the Spirit by the hearing of faith. Romans 8:9-10 says, but what saith that the word is nigh thee, even in our mouth and in our heart? That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, it says you shall be saved. And once that happened, then you come into the kingdom of God and you come into a spiritual realm. It's a supernatural happening that took place by God himself when you did that. We had nothing to do with it. It was all by God's grace that it happened, just by us believing what Jesus did for us. And when they try to do it, the Apostle Paul, we started this off, and he called them foolish. He said, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? So he was trying to tell them, we don't go back to that which we started off in, because now we are in a new relationship with the Spirit. We're in a relationship heart to heart, a relationship that practices love. In Romans chapter 8, The Apostle Paul gives us those two laws, and he tried to explain to him. He shows us in Romans chapter 7 what happened to him when he tried to follow the law and not follow Christ Jesus. So go over in Romans chapter 7 with me. And I'll begin to read here in Romans chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. And the Apostle Paul began to explain some things that happened by trying to follow the law and being in Christ Jesus, law of liberty in Christ Jesus. He says here, he said, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law," which was the Jews, they knew the law, "how that the law has dominion over a man as long as he liveth." So it dominates him, his thinking, his process. He said, "For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to a husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband." So if her husband dies, or if she eliminates him, or if he goes away, then she's loosed from that law of her husband. So he's saying that since Christ Jesus come and you've accepted him, there's a new law that we should be operating in, and we should be loosed from the old law. He says, "So then if while her husband liveth, she's married to another, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another. Wherefore, my brethren, you also become dead to the law by the body of Christ." He's explaining to the Roman church what's happening here. He tried to explain to them the Galatians church. He continues to explain to us as the Spirit of God reveals to him what is happening between the law of liberty in Christ Jesus and by following the law. We are on a new covenant. If you turn over to Hebrews, I'm going to go back to this and I'm going to show you something in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 8, and we'll read this part beginning at verse 6, Hebrews 8 and 6. It talks about Jesus here. It says, "But now hath he," talking about Jesus, "has obtained more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant." So right now we're operating in a better covenant. He said, "which was established upon better promises." He said, "For if that by that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for a second." So if the original covenant, if the old covenant had been faultless, then God would not have found a place for a new covenant. He said, "For finding fault with them," he said, "behold, the days cometh, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with them, their fathers, in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the first covenant that I will make with the house. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." So God said, when I make this new covenant, he said, I'm not going to write it up on tablets like I did the law and wrote it up on. He said, I'm going to write it in their hearts, in their inner man, so they'll know exactly who I am. Turn back to Romans chapter 7 again, and Apostle Paul goes on to explain. He said, "Wherefore, my brethren, you are also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that you should bring forth fruit unto God. He said, for when you were in the flesh, see, we're no longer, we should be operating in the flesh. We should be operating according to the Spirit. He says that when you was in the flesh, the motions of sin, which was by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death, the law of sin and death. He said, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein you were held, that you should serve in the newness of spirit and not as the oldness of the letter. So the old covenant was more letter than spirit, and you was operating according to the flesh. There were certain performances that you had to do in order to operate in the old covenant. You had to bring sacrifices. There was ordinances that you had to cover. But in the law of the spirit, there was only one thing that you had to do in order to operate in this new law. And that was believe. That was the only thing that you had to do, was believe. And once you believed, then you came into this new covenant. You became a new creation in Christ Jesus. And now you was eligible for everything that God had to promise. In the old covenant, you had to, if you did not follow every ordinance, every command that was in the covenant, you could not be justified in that covenant. But again, as I say, the only thing that you have to do in this new covenant is believe. And once you believe, you come into the kingdom and you operate accordingly. Verse 5 says, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which was by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of the spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. No. He said, I had not known sin, but by the law. See, what the law did was bring us in. It was our schoolmaster to show us what sin was. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbors. So he had to show us what sin actually was. And so then it became our schoolmaster, so that when Jesus came, then we could operate according to the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus and not according to the old law. He goes on to say, I had not known sin, but by the law. For had I not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandments, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. So for I was alive without the law once. But when the commandments came, sin revived and I died. So what he's saying is, before the law, God made a promise. That promise was to Abraham. That was more of a promise than a covenant that he made with Abraham at first. He told him that, he told him to get up and leave the land that you're in. And he promised him those things. God said, these are the things that I'm going to do for you if you follow my commands. If I tell you, do exactly what I tell you to do. He said, I'm going to make you a blessing. He said, I'm going to bless those that bless you. He said, and he's going to curse all those that curse him. Over in Genesis chapter 12, he explained it to him. And he goes on to tell him that he was going to become the father of many nations. And God said, I'm responsible. That was nothing. The only thing that Abraham had to do at that time was circumcise all the families and believe God. I'll get over to Romans, over in Romans chapter 4 and verse 16 and verse through 21, where he said, and Abraham became fully persuaded what God had promised, that God was also able to perform. And because he believed God, Jesus had not come, but because of that, he became the righteousness of God because of his belief in what God had promised him. When we became righteous, we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We took on Christ Jesus' righteousness rather than our righteousness. And so, but the Abraham, he believed God because God had made a promise to him. He goes on to say in verse 10, he say, and the commandments which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. That was he's trying to explain something about the old covenant and the new covenant. He said, for sin taking occasion by the commandments deceived me, and by it slew me. He said, wherefore the law is holy and the commandments holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me, God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandments might become exceedingly sinful. So it's still showing us that it was bringing us into a relationship with sin and making us focus on sin rather than not focusing on sin. When every time you thought about the law and every time you think about something, that thing which you're thinking about begins to expand. And when it expands, it becomes a stumbling block to you, more or less. It goes on to say, for we know that the law is spiritual, but he said, I'm carnal, soul under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. That for what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. So he's saying, because of all this mix up on the inside of me, he said, the things I should do, I end up doing anyway, because I'm still focusing on it. The more I think about it, the more I want to do it. If you begin to think about it, if you think about it even now, if you think about, begin to think about things that are sinful, it'll begin to grow on the inside of you. And the more you think about not wanting to do it, the more you want to do it. That's just natural in our fleshly members, because our members, our body is still under sin. It says, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me there that is in my flesh. Well, see, we now become spiritual beings, dwelling no good thing. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. For the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So the sin is still our sin nature. Sin nature is still on the inside of us. And the more we focus on that, that's what happens many times to we who are in the body of Christ. Rather than keeping our focus on, as Hebrews 12:2 say, looking unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith, we begin to focus on that which we should not do. And because we are focusing on that we should not do begin to expand. And that's on the inside of us. We've actually losing the fact of our focus, and we're focusing on the law. So, and many times in the body of Christ, because we are still focusing on those commandments, that which is in the law, that means we will have a tendency more want to do those things. It says, I'm going to read right on through, and then I'm going to get down to verse 3 in Romans 8 and 1 through 3. It said, now, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, because I'm still focusing on the law, on those commandments, on those things that I should not do. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity into the law of sin, which is in my members. Then he was really confused in this situation. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from this body of this death? He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So again, because we are trying to live in two covenants, we're trying to live in the covenant of sin and death, and the covenant of the law of life in the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, many times body of Christ is basically confused in where they should be operating in. If we're operating in the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, then grace will hold us. Grace will keep us. And so, because the word of God, the Apostle Paul got to that point. He say, I am what I am because of the grace of God. We need the grace of God to hold us in this supernatural kingdom and help us to carry us through what God wants us to do. If we try to do it in the flesh, trying to do it with our performances, we can never do it. That's what they found out in the law. They could not follow the law. They could not do what was in the law. The law could not save them, so they needed a savior. They needed a redeemer. So that's why Christ Jesus came along and redeemed us from that law. We were redeemed. Word of God says that we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. The law was actually a curse because we could focus on it. It would bring us into remembrance of things that we should not do. And because we kept focusing on it, it kept expanding in our lives. And then we want to continue to do it. In verse 25, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And then verse 3, 1-3, it say, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. The law of sin and death was a law of the flesh. So he was trying to follow it in the flesh and not in the realm of the spirit. And so because of that, that flesh was kept focusing and kept focusing on that law. He said, for I walk not after flesh, but after the spirit. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. I'm free. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to take on that freedom. If you've been made, that means that I no longer am under the law of sin and death, because I now am made in the image of Christ Jesus and has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. And so, again, we have the spirit on the inside of us. We've been recreated in Christ Jesus. Second Corinthians 5 and 17 tells us that if we be Christ, then are we new creatures. It says old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So that sin nature that was on the inside of us has, because we took on Christ's nature on the inside of us, we've now taken on his nature. So that old nature, that old fleshly nature that was on the inside of us has come on inside of us. Now we have the nature of Christ Jesus. And so now we can operate according to the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So we don't have to concern ourselves with the law. It was more of the Apostle Paul tells us that it was a schoolmaster. It was a tutorer. And so once it began to bring us to that area, bring us to Christ Jesus, then all we have to do is walk in the spirit. And it says we walk in the spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so if you continue to follow the Apostle Paul, he began to tell us what the lust of the flesh was. If you go over in Galatians chapter 5, he tells us what the fruits of the spirit is. Turn to Galatians chapter 5 with me. And again, he explains to us, and he in the epistles, he was setting doctrine in the church, and he began to explain about the law. He began to explain about who we are and what we receive because we've accepted Christ Jesus as our Lord. So here in Galatians chapter 5, And again, I read the scriptures here and let the scriptures minister themselves and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what he's saying to you. Here in the Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 11, he say, "And brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross cease." And so he's saying, if I go back and try to preach the law, teach the law, then, you know, why am I being persecuted? Because he was teaching at that time, he was teaching something different. He was teaching the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and he was not teaching the law. He goes on to say, "I would that they were even cut off which trouble you." He said, "Brethren, you have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." And he said, "Don't, you know, if you go back and you try to operate in the law again, you're going back trying to operate in the flesh. We're not operating according to the flesh, but we're operating according to the spirit. We need to understand that we are in a spiritual kingdom." And that's why when Jesus made that statement over there to the lady at the well, he said, "They that worship me must worship." He said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so our recreated spirit is created in the image of Christ Jesus. So what he basically done, he's gone back and through Christ Jesus, he created us as we were when he first created. He said in Genesis chapter 26, he said, "Let us create man after our image, after our likeness." And when Adam sinned, he died and he separated from God. And when he separated, then we had to go through that process all the way through the flesh. We did, our spirits were separated from the spirit of God. And so he had to keep showing us how he was going to redeem us back to him. And the only way he could do it was through Christ Jesus and his blood on the cross. He goes on to say, he said, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this." He said, everything that was in the law. And so he said, all those commandments, all those ordinances that was there, that was against us. He said, everything that was there. So he's saying, if thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So he's saying that if you love your neighbor as yourself, that's basically the new covenant. The new covenant is a law of love. And he said, then if you love your neighbor as yourself, all these things that was in the law that it tell you that thou should not do, then you guess what's going to happen? You're going to begin to do that to that individual. You're not going to lie against him. You're not going to steal from him. You're not going to covet what he have if you love your neighbor as yourself. And he goes on to say, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you will be consumed one another. This I say, walk in the spirit. That's a big S, that's a capital S. He said, walk by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14 say, for as many as are led by the Spirit, said that we are the sons of God. Say, and so if we are led by the Holy Spirit, guess what's going to happen? We have the Holy Spirit in us to guide us and direct us and show us what we do and to convict us when we do wrong. He's not going to, the Holy Spirit don't condemn us, but he's such a gentle, loving person. He will convict us. He'll say, this is wrong. You should be going this way and not that way. He said, then I say, verse 16, then I say, walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so that's again, you're walking in the spirit. You're not walking according to the law, according to the flesh. And so when you do that, you won't fulfill the lust. And again, we are confused. It's like we are schizophrenic. We try to operate. Schizophrenic means I'm double-minded. I'm two-minded. I have two minds. I'm one person this day, and I'm somebody else tomorrow. And the next day, I'm somebody else. So when we try to operate in the two laws, we're operating according to the flesh. And we're operating according to the spirit. And then we come get confused. When we get over in the flesh, guess what we're going to do? We're going to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. When we're operating according and walking in the spirit, we're going to fulfill the the lusts of the Spirit. And Apostle Paul shows us here again in the Galatians 2. He says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit. So that means that the two cannot operate in the same place. Either you're going to operate in the Spirit or you're going to operate in the flesh. Are you going to operate according to the old covenant or you're going to operate according to the new covenant? He goes on to say, and the Spirit, and these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you should do or would do. So he say, again, he's saying, if you're trying to operate according to the law, you're operating in the flesh and not according to the Spirit. When you're operating in the Spirit, again, you're going to be led by the Spirit and you're going to do what the Spirit of God tell you to do. But if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. So that is, again, he say, if you're under the Spirit, you're not led by the law. You're not trying to follow the commandments. You're being led by the Holy Spirit himself. And again, the Apostle Paul told the Roman church, if as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So, and we have to be led of the Spirit and not of the flesh. Every time we try to follow the law, we are back into the flesh and we're trying to do the things according to what the commandment. And again, many in the body of Christ, still they have not got the two separated out. And so therefore, that's why the confusion is in them. The things they want to do. I mean, a Christian don't want to sin, but because he's trying to operate in those do's and don'ts, his flesh, his fleshly body want to get over into that thing. Like the Apostle Paul was telling us in Romans chapter 7. He said, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I should be doing, I do anyway. Because why? Because of sin in my body. And I'm in the flesh and I'm not in the Spirit. And so I'm operating according to the Spirit. He said, now, verse 19, he explains to us. He said, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And so, again, you focus on them. And guess what's going to happen? They're going to expand in your life because you're operating in the flesh and not operating according to the Spirit. He says, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variances, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. So anything that's even close to those things, that's because we're operating in the flesh and according to the flesh. You can be a Christian who's operating carnally. You're no different than a person who have never been born again because you're still operating in the flesh and not according to the Spirit. Then he goes on and tells us, he say, they which do such things should not inherit the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is a totally different kingdom. Why? Because it is a spiritual kingdom. And so in order for us to operate in the kingdom, then there are certain fruits we have to be bearing. And Apostle Paul gets here in Galatians chapter 22. And he tells us, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit, and he gives it to us. He says, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. He says, and against such there is no law. So those are the fruits of the Spirit. And if you're operating according to the Spirit, according to the flesh, and, you know, many times there are things that the Word of God tells us that we should do. In fact, while we're here, let's make Galatians 5 and 22 our meditation scripture for this particular class. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And he said, against such there is no law. So 5:22 and 23. Is our meditation scripture. Remember what he told him? He said, we who are spiritual, he said, restore them in the spirit of meekness. That's part of that fruits of the Spirit that he's talking about. We're operating in the realm of the Spirit, not according to the flesh. And so we are operating in the realm of the spirit. These are the fruits that we should be always manifesting. He said, and they that are in Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and the lusts. He said, we live in the spirit. Let us also walk in the spirit. And let us not desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So again, that brings us right back to that part when we're restoring our brothers and our sisters in their right relationship with Christ Jesus. Well, how the Apostle Paul, he got out of that situation by understanding when in Romans chapter 7, when he got all confused, and then he realized what was going to bring him back to his right relationship. And that was the law of the Spirit. That's a big S here, the law of the Spirit, Romans 8:2. He said, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son, Jesus, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. And so that there are the two laws there, that's the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, law of sin and death. And the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. And a law of a relationship with the rules. We should in the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, we eliminate the law with the rules. And so we should not try, when we restore someone, we should not try to bring them back into a right relationship with the rules. We should bring them into a relationship, into a love relationship. But that relationship, and I'm going to give you a couple more pointers, and then we're going to end this class. He said, but that is not the relationship or the reality of most people. Most people have a relationship with the rules, and thus their behavior is motivated by the spirit of, by the fear of punishment rather than love. And so, again, that's a fruit of the spirit. Remember, the first one in there, in that fruit of the spirit, is love. He said, when you're operating in the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, you should be bearing a fruit of love. So, and like I say, when we most people in our relationship is operating by a spirit of fear of punishment. And so even though if they operate according to a fear of punishment, then are they, when they come and they repent of that thing, are they repenting out of true repentance? Are they repenting out of a fear of punishment? If I don't repent, then they're going to punish me. And if I get punished for what I did, then I'm going to lose my position. And so then, you know, nobody's going to want to talk to me, and I'm going to be kicked to the curb by my brothers and sisters. But if it's out of love, then eventually they will come to a area of true repentance. And then and once they come to that true repentance, they themselves can deliver themselves out of the snare of the devil. So we who are in the body of Christ and under this apostolic government that we are under, and that's what our Father is trying to restore to the body of Christ, and let them know that in this culture of honor that God is creating in the body of Christ, that we are restoring our brothers and sisters to their rightful place in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you. We praise you and give you the glory, Father. We thank you that you open our eyes that we see, our ears that we hear, and our hearts that we understand. We thank you, Father, that we don't just become hearers of your word, but we become doers of what you tell us to do. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.